A light to lighten the Gentiles in the glory of thy people Israel. I'm usually so focused on everything involved with Candlemas, the procession, that I often forget the more ancient liturgical rite of Groundhog Day. Now, I actually learned today, was dug up by my wife actually, that this custom came to the United States from Germany, but even before that, it was brought to Germany by the Romans. So there is something ancient about this day, and you can feel the weight of it, don't you? Now, if you didn't follow the news, then yes, the groundhog did see his shadow, so you know what that means, don't you? Or if you're not so up to speed, someone's shaking their head, so a little liturgical instruction, yes, it does mean 6 more weeks of winter, which for me is good news. So I'm sorry to make you grumpy by that. But, you know, we'll have to say, by the way, that, you know, when there's a late February snowstorm, and invariably you see a church that has the sign that says, whoever's praying for snow, please stop. Yeah, well, yeah, that's me. But at least, though, what we have here is the promise of spring. And that's partly what all this does with in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. Whether it's 6 more weeks of winter or not, spring is coming, and even I am happy about that at some point. And so we have this holiday, which is Candlemas, I'm speaking of now, which is kind of in this long period where there's not a lot of holidays. So your neighbor who likes to put up all the decorations, this is a time when there's not a whole lot going on. But punctuated, we have Candlemas, the end of the broader Christmas season, 40 days, as we continue what feels often like a long winter with dark days. Simeon, when he encountered our Lord in the temple, had the promise of a spiritual spring to come. Now, for him, that promise would be fulfilled. He probably wouldn't see that fulfillment. What is that fulfillment? Ultimately, that fulfillment would be in the resurrection. And according to tradition, Simeon, being supernaturally old, being a very old man, likely did, more about that in a moment, likely did not live to see that. But yet he said he was ready to depart in peace. And so for us, that the question that we can consider today is, are you ready to depart in peace? In what way? Well, how much peace you have at night, how much peace you have putting the day aside, can be an indication at times as to whether or not you are ready to depart in peace, to leave this life. And that's what Simeon found when he saw our Lord Jesus Christ. What might get in the way of your ability to depart in peace? What might keep you anxious as you try to retire for the day, or make you concerned about whether or not you're ready to leave this life? Are the things you want to accomplish? Are the career goals you want to attain? Are there family needs you have to tend to? Is there a legacy that you still hope to leave behind? Well, hopefully you're also thinking about your sanctity and whether or not you're ready to meet the Lord. Now, you also may be thinking about your spouse, your children. Are they ready to meet the Lord? Have I assisted them in their journey? Now, I think these might have been some of the primary concerns that were weighing on Simeon. Now, Simeon was a holy and a devout man, but his story was tied to Israel's story. And what we see in Israel is a history of falling away, an unfaithful people that have the rituals, they have the role, they have everything proclaimed for them. But over and over again, they fell in their effort to follow God. And so we have more than a long winter, we have a long intertestamental period in which there's no prophecy, a long winter of faith, so to speak. And Simeon is waiting. But now, just by seeing our Lord, he is able to depart in peace. And so that cycle, though, that of waiting for fulfillment of all these years, can bring us to another aspect of Groundhog Day, which is that movie by the same name from 1993. I see some of you nodding your head, so I'm sure many of you are familiar with that. And now, this movie actually was, there's an evangelical pastor, a very doctrinally oriented evangelical pastor, who said this was his favorite movie of all time. And actually, there was a festival of spiritual movies at the Museum of Modern Art in New York City, and they used that Groundhog Day movie to kick it off. Why is that? Well, it's because there is a need for redemption in the protagonist's life, where he experiences the same day repeating over and over again. And the question is, how does he break out of this cycle? We can liken this in some ways to the cycle of Israel. Over and over again, the winter, so to speak, continuing, longing for redemption. Now, in the case of the protagonist of that Groundhog Day movie, if you know it, then it's coming to mind. But if not, the problem why this day had to be repeated was because of his own sin, because he was so selfish. And so he's a newspaper reporter, and the first day he wakes up and he gives a half-hearted report on Groundhog Day because he didn't see the liturgical significance of it like you and I do. And as he goes through, he's rude to various people. But then the day is over, he goes to bed, and he wakes up to his alarm clock, which is Sonny and Cher singing, "We Got You, Babe." He goes for the same day, seeming eerily familiar, like deja vu. He goes to bed, and the next day, Sonny and Cher, yet again. And so we see that certainly Phil is his name, is not able to depart in peace. And so the movie ends when that day, after decades of repeating this, finally does come to an end. What brings it to an end? Well, there's no clear answer for that, actually, in the movie, which is partly why this movie is so endearing, because it actually inspires some thought. What enabled him to break out of the loop? Certainly his life changed. He became more selfless. And this inspires much thinking about redemption. Buddhists look at this in sort of like the cycle of reincarnation. Seems like he had to live the same life over and over again. Some have looked at this and likened the repetition that he experienced to purgatory. But also he met a woman and he had a relationship that drew him out of himself. And in this is where we see more likely Christian themes, because he was no longer living for himself, but he had an encounter with another. So this movie wasn't produced by Christians, but if we're going to make a connection to Christ, we must acknowledge this, is that Phil and you and I, if we see ourselves in the place of Phil, no matter what we do, no matter what you repeat, if you feel like you're in a loop, and now what's the loop in your life or mine? Is it the habitual sin that you seem to have a hard time breaking out of? Is it relationships that seem to go around and around without improvement? Is it a routine that seems like a drag? Is it not breaking into the next level of a career? The bottom line, when it comes to your redemption, you cannot break out. Nothing you do will enable you to move forward unless someone breaks in. And that is, of course, our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what happens to Simeon. In Israel, there's no breaking this loop of repeated sacrifices. That can't, as we read in our letter to the Hebrews, can never offer a full sacrifice for sin. But when our Lord breaks in, then we have the end of the loop. This is the fulfillment, by the way, of that original sacrifice that happened as our people were leaving Israel. That's how this whole idea of the presentation in the temple came about. The idea was that because the firstborn of Egypt died because of the sacrifice of the lamb, to remember this, all the firstborn sons were to be presented in the temple, offered up so that they would not have to be sacrificed, to remember this initial sacrifice. But what's happening in the temple is the continual sacrifices, bringing forth that symbolism, which never suffice, like a loop, the same day over and over again, until now, the true lamb, to which that initial lamb in Israel first pointed when they left Egypt. The true lamb comes into the temple to end the repetition once and for all. And what does the writer to the Hebrews tell us? He says, and by that will of our Lord, who chose to be that sacrifice, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The other breaks in to end the loop. And it's because of this we have the promise, so that you and I can depart in peace. Now, this reality of Jesus being the ultimate sacrifice is something that I think we all know. We celebrate this liturgically, not just at Groundhog Day, not just Candlemas, at Easter. Every Sunday, we acknowledge this reality. But don't we sometimes forget that we can depart in peace because of this truth? Aren't we often trying to fight against that loop, trying to break out on our own? But it seems paradoxical, doesn't it? When grace comes, that our Lord Jesus Christ could come and offer a sacrifice for sin, and we're done? Don't we need a stick to move us forward? Don't we need something to spur us on to more? But that's the paradox, that to move forward, the gospel dynamic that moves us forward ultimately is gratitude. That you are undeserving and you and I are saved by grace alone. Now, Simeon, in the following day, being able to depart in peace, what would he do with the remaining days of his life? It says, according to tradition, by the way, that he was one of the writers of the Septuagint. That's the Greek Old Testament. And in Isaiah 7:14, where it says, a woman will have a child, the Greek translation is that a virgin would have a child. And being one of these translators, he thought, wait a minute, the Hebrew just says woman. Maybe we should use that word instead of virgin. Well, according to tradition, he saw an angel that said, no, you will see the fulfillment of this. You will not depart until you see this child born of a virgin. And so, like that Groundhog Day movie, he lived a long life of waiting. But that fulfillment was not just his, but for all the sin of Israel. And even though he won't see the end of it, he knows the promise is given. Your holiness is not done either. You and I still have a lot of growth to do. But it's because our Lord has given you that deposit of grace, that he is walking with you, that you can depart in peace. And this gives you breathing room. No longer pressure to measure up. If it's on you, then you feel the judgment of God, and that makes you judgmental of others. And that becomes a vicious circle that makes you less holy. But when you have nothing but the grace of God, gratitude, that makes you become more gracious to others. That makes you, by receiving love, you're able to walk in love And yes, you're able to move forward, and the cycle of sin begins to break down, and you're able to grow. So what keeps you at times from departing in peace? What makes you anxious at night? What makes you feel like you're not done with this life? Yes, continue to work on these things, but do so in the context of grace. For the light has come, and because that fulfillment has been received, you and I can truly depart in peace.